No, no, not the same thing. This morning? Oh, yeah. Both you and Mr. Emanuel told me yes, and you're going to be there today. I mean, here today. Both told me the same thing.
Well,
both
I have
were,
to be there tomorrow.
Both are here tomorrow. When's the seminar? I thought it started so today. Thursday. All right. We did a little bit over a block today. I don't remember that very much. We're on Daf Lamina Aleph, page 59. And we're talking about Hezek Shener Nicker. Tell you about various different types of religious damage, specifically Metame, Medame, and Menase, when you make Truma Tame, when you mix in Truma with non-Truma, and when you libate wine for purposes of Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah said if you did it unintentionally, you're exempt. If you did it intentionally, you are liable. Okay? So, the Gemara wants to know what exactly the case is in our Mishnah. And we're on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th line from the top. Which is probably not much more than 8th lines from the bottom. But 8 lines from the top. Akdun kasava shukhulin. That's good when he holds, if the guy thought that the thing he was dealing with was chulin. So then, okay, it's logic dictates I'll let him off the hook if he's an infant. Hayadeh boshi truma. What about if he knew that the stuff he was dealing with is truma? Because sabashemuta l'tama yisov, but he held you're allowed to be matami truma. Now, this is what's called in Chazalic parlance, oimer muter. A guy thinks it's mutter to commit a crime, like the guy who's speeding and thinks it's mutter to speed, right? So the question is, again, whether ignorance of the law is an exemption or not, right? So I understand if he didn't know the facts of the case, because he thought what he was dealing with his chulin turned out to be truma, so then shogi could be exempt, because it's not just ignorance of the law, it's ignorance of what he's dealing with. But it's where he knows he's dealing with just ignorant of the law, do we also let him off the hook where he's shogi or not, right? So this is a Mardish Mina Min Adults, and for the last case mentioned in the Mishnah. Last case mentioned in Mishnah is HaKohanim Shepiglu BaMikdash. HaKohanim, who did peel in the Mikdash, it said, Mezina Chayov, if they did it intentionally, they're liable, which infers that unintentionally they're exempt, right? Maraka, what are you talking about? Inkasar Ben Shul Chulin. Ever talk about a case where you thought that it was Chulin, right? The HaKohanim thought it was Chulin. So that makes no sense. They have to have a thought, you know, to eat in chutz's man or chutz im kaimo. You can't have such a thought if you're dealing with chulin. Besides, they're in the Pesach Mikdash, you know, makes no sense, right? So obviously, there's no such thing as pigul b'chulin. El kenokem, obviously, the case that you're talking about in the Mishnah is talking about a case where yodua biyotea bohen shein kodesh. He knows that they were kodesh, and nevertheless, he's mufago. So then it depends if he's showing you're amazing. But we see that. That where Sover Lomer Shemutza Fagel Kodesh, if he thinks it's Mutza to do Pigul, which is the Shogeg, we let him off the hook, right? So here too also, Vachabi Adair Shu Truma. If he knew the stuff is Truma, the Sover Lomer Mutza Latamaisa, he thinks that it's permissible to him, Matame Truma, we let him off the hook as well. Okay, now, the next Gemara, after having looked at it, I have a feeling it's out of order. Okay? So I want to go down first three lines, Teitz Rabbi Abba, and then come back and learn Rav Huna as an answer. Okay? Because there are two questions, and there's no answer. So I think the Rav Huna is answer to the next two questions. You'll see what I mean after I learn with you. Teitz Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba asks a question like this. Hagatz Mecha. Now this is going back in our mission. It's going back in the case of our mission. The mission says a menasech. If you libate wine for Avodah Zarah, b'mezid you're chayev, right? You libate somebody's wine for Avodah Zarah, b'mezid you're chayev. So Rav Abba says, makes no sense. Agatzma, shoregos nefesh. You killed somebody, right? V'shiva said, so while you were killing him, you broke somebody's pots. B'tchila, why you're doing it. V'chayev misa, are you liable first be put to death and then to pay afterwards? In other words, what do we say there? Kill Rabbeinu, right? So it's here, Menasech, what is he doing in order to be Menasech? B'mezid, what's he doing? His live being wife of a zohar, how can you make him chayav to pay? So it's amazing chayovin. Do they have to pay if they did him amazing? How can you have to pay? He's going to be put to death. What happened to king later Rabbaminei? Right? So it makes no sense, our Mishnah, right? Viter, says the Mishnah. Viter, says Mark. Another question along the same lines. Meitz Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has the same question. Agatz mukshidli gedisho chavero b'shabbos. If you light your friend's haystack on Shabbos, b'tchilu chayim misa v'sof tashlum, at the beginning you're chayim to death, and at the end you're chayim to pay, it's obviously kim l'rabamine, right? That's true. And that is the reason why he brought down the second case is an even bigger question. Because the first case is a case where at the time you're killing somebody, you broke, you know, a pot with your other hand. So there, it's simultaneous. So I might say that that's why you're potter. But the second case is a case where first you became chai misa because you lit a fire. Then afterwards your fire went and was and damaged. So I might say, and what happens later on, you're chayev, okay? You're chayev misa, but you're still alive, so you should still have to pay. But we know that's not true. We know that everything is considered to be included in the first mice, and therefore it's a kilim rabbinate. So to hear where you're menasech, you know, how's there any way to get you off the hook? So let's go back now to what the Gemara says from Ralph. So it says, Gemara, Rav Huna B'Shem Rav said, Rosa name Rav, Vuhu, it's talking about a case, She'irev, where he mixed together. What is mixed together? Misech V'irbevah. You libated the wine and then mixed that wine with somebody else's wine. Okay, so first you were Menasech wine, you took a bottle of a Chveis, Kedem Malaga. It's actually Mavushal, so I don't know if that counts. But yeah, let's say it wasn't Mavushal. Kedem Malaga and libated for Avodah Zarah. What else is it good for? You certainly wouldn't want to drink it, right? So he was libated for Avodah Zarah. And then, this is not a, I shouldn't get sued by Kenner for saying that, right? But, and then after having libated for Avodah Zarah, you mixed it intentionally with somebody else's wine. So the truth is, on the Menasek itself, you may or may not be Chayav Misa, it's not relevant. L'maisa, however, it's after you became Chayav Misa, you then went and damaged by mixing that libated wine with somebody else's regular wine. So then on that mixing, that's what makes you Chayav to pay, because you did that mixing b'mezid. So that's like anybody else who's liable to death penalty, anything they do after the liable death penalty, they're still Chayav to pay on. So yeah, as long as the nisuch was separate from the libating was separate, then it's offering the other person's wine. So then, b'tchila hu chayav misa, or the vav here supposes b'tchila hu chayav misa, or b'sof tashlum. And first he's chayav death penalty, but then he's chayav tashlum afterwards, and he's got to pay. Says the Gemara further, going back to where we got off to, hametame v'amedamea v'amenasech b'shogi poter amazed chayav. It says that metame dame menasech. Metame is you make truma tame. Metame mixed truma with somebody's chulin. Now you can't eat his chulin. Menasech libation, which you just learned is libating and then mixing. All these things were b'shoy potter. Did him unintentionally potter. Mezid chayiv did intentionally chayiv. That was a quote from the Mishnah. Now comes the commentary from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the mishum knas. That it's because of knas. Now, there's three ways of understanding Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know exactly what's the right way. One way of understanding it, which I came thought of myself, is that that it means that he's coming to say that even if normally you say kim l'rabbinei, here we don't say kim l'rabbinei because it's a knas. That's Chachamim made a knas. They said even though theoretically you should say kim l'rabbinei, but menase rabbanim made you chayav nevertheless. I'm not happy with that, but it's a possibility. And Moshe says that here is proving that Rabbi Yochanan is proving that that since Menasech, it says here's chayiv, that means that it can't be a case where you are liable to death penalty, and he's not learning the way we did that the previous Gemara is the answer to the question, but rather to say this Gemara is the answer to the question that there's no liability of death penalty, even though there is liability of death penalty, nevertheless because of Knas Yerchayev. Or the Karmeya changes the whole shot. It changes all gears. He says it shouldn't be Amtami Vam Deve Abinase, Rishoy Potter made Zachayev, but rather it's about crime, Shapiglu Bamikdosh. Mazin Mechayavin. So why these quantum were fogging the base of Mikdash Chayav and Mazik? So it's Hezik Shader Nikar, and the answer is also because of Knas. Okay? So all sorts of ways of learning that Gemara. Now, paid Rabbi Yochanan ben Alochba, paid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugola. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugola testified the Chayreshes on a girl who is deaf mute. She see if he was married off by her father. She had to beget that she gets. She can be divorced by a get, even though she herself is deaf mute. Nevertheless, you can give her a get. Ba'aktana batzisol she is the coin. Also, he testified on a ktana, a minor, who's the daughter of a regular Jewish father. She is going to be married to a coin. She will betruma that she can eat truma. Be mesa if she dies, even though she was married off as a ktana, that vali yosher her husband inherits her. Vame resha gazul, and on a stolen beam. So this is on Yizokin, so we have many non sequiturs here, things which don't follow each other, just test part of the testimony. Vame resha gazul on a stolen beam, shebnova bir, which is built into a fancy house. She thinks that you pay back money for it. You don't have to ruin your house and take down the beam. That's because of Yusha Babi says because of takonas hashavim. In order to make it easy to do tshuva, because you make him take down his house, get down the beam, he's never going to do tshuva. So forget about tshuva. Bottom line, right? It's Bedel part of principle trumps tshuva any day, right? Vachatas agzula. And on a stolen chatos, shlo noda belorabim, as long as Mass don't know it's stolen, she mechapers that it's mechaper, it's not considered to be a chulin bazar or some other problem. It wouldn't be chulin bazar, but name it. It's not considered to be an issue. Yeah, chulin bazar. In other words, you stole now and made a chatos, so it still works when they take on the Mizbech, and why the client should not feel, always hesitant to go work on the Mizbech, because maybe the kabbarnas are stolen. It's that way they said. Generically, even a stolen carbon works. Let me just get another drink. From Yavamas. Rabbi Chanina, we had it way back in Yavamas. Rabbi Chanina, boy, call me Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Chanina asked for Rabbi Ami. Nirin Dvarav. I would say that a get can be given, but Bikacha Sheesh Badas, when we're talking about a woman who is Bikachas, meaning that she is. Red normal woman, sheish ladas, that she has das, meaning she has the capacity to intend. She he yaita ben ladas min shladas. She can be divorced both with her will and against her will. However, cheresh is she'ein badas. A cheresh is a deaf mute who has no das. Lo teitzei ladas. She can only get divorced if she knows if she has das. No, it's a very strange concept, but what it's like the Talmudic print concept which we have in the Bavli, called Roy Labila Ain Bila Makevisbo, called Shain Roy Labila Bila Makevisbo. Anytime something is suitable to it should for a certain standard, it doesn't necessarily always have to meet that standard. Anything something which is not suitable for a standard, it must meet that standard, which means it fails. So a woman who can intend to be divorced, whether she knows she's getting divorced or not, as long as she knows she's getting a get in her hand, whether she agrees to get divorced or not, it's still a valid divorce, right? However, a woman who doesn't know she's getting divorced because she's a chereshes, so then she can't get divorced. Again, for divorce to take effect, you have to be able to know you're getting a get. Then we can even divorce you against your will. But if you can't know you're getting a get because you're a chereshes, you can't get divorced. Because you can't hold on to a get and know that this is your get. Right?
How'd you get married then?
Oh. So it says the Gemara, wait a minute. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said a chereshes is yoytze beget. Chereshes was married off by her father. That's how she got married. Can't be yoytze beget. Right? So what's it going to do with our Mishnah? V'lo A to C. Isn't this a testimony in our Mishnah? Right? Abzuka yoytzeba. So to here be the same thing. Mosif and Aledus, and you're going to add on Mosif here mean add on means detracting, really, but it means you're going to manipulate the Eidus. You want to say that the Eidus which you have in our Mishnah is incorrect? You can't do that. You're an Amora. Rav Chaina can't do that. The Tana says that there's divorce. But Chereshus, you can. What are you doing? So it says more. Rabbi Chanina Savar. Rabbi Chanina holds. Bipikacha shisio avia instead of yima, it should be v'nischar shah. That's where it says yivamis, it says your carbonator. We're talking about, he wants to say that in fact, you know what? You're right. If the woman was married to Zechay Reshes, she can get divorced to Zechay Reshes because those are the terms of her marriage. She was married with limited das. She can get divorced with limited das. Rabbi Chaina says, what's bothering me is a woman who was married as a bikachas. And now you want to divorce her as a chereshes. That I can't tolerate. Because when she was married on the, you know, achieving the bar of das, so now you can't divorce her unless she hits the bar of das as well. So he says, yes, you know what, I'm stuck. I can't argue on the testimony in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if she was married as a chereshes, she can get divorced as a chereshes. But I'm arguing on a woman who was married as a pikachas that she could get divorced as a chereshes. That I don't like. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi saw her Meimer. Yossi said, came along and said, you're wrong. He said, our Mishnah is even talking about Biktana, she see a via vima, so if I even a girl's married up by her father and mother, and should not be Nischarsha, but rather Nischarsha. And later on, she became a Chereshes. In other words, the Eidus in our Mishnah goes against you, Rabbi Chanina, even in this case. And even if she was initially Bikachas, and she became a Chereshes, then nevertheless, she can be divorced as well. Okay, so that's more a new issue. Why they say a ktana, on our mission said a ktana bas yisrael can eat truma. Of course you can. Why can't she eat truma, guys? Why should she be able to eat truma?
Why should she?
Why can't she not?
Because she's not married.
Not married to Raisa, but she is. Because she has no nisuin to Raisa. The father can be makabah kiddushin, but can't. It seems, according to our Mishnah, can't affect nisuin. So that's why it says matam omru. Okay, and the Mishnah is going to explain this a little bit. Matam omru ktan b'tzolos chelos etshum neishu you are kol kotzim aleha. So everybody should jump to marry her mibnei chino in order that she should find grace in people's eyes. Meaning that even the kohanim will want to marry her. If the kohanim are not going to be able to feed her truma, they're not going to love her. Right? What does love have to do with it anyway? Right? So therefore, how is she going to find favor in the eyes of Kohanim? Only if the Kohanim can feed her with cheap food. Right? What's cheap food? Truma. What? No, truma. Truma's cheaper, yes. They get it for free. Right? So if they can't feed her truma, these Kohanim, they're so stingy, they can't give her I have a coin in the room, so be careful what you say. But the Kohanim, they want to feed her truma, so therefore they're only going to have, she's going to find favor in her eyes if they can feed her truma, right?
The bottom line is right.
But to find favor, bottom line, it's all associated. So in any event, Amrav Sivir Zimri says, V'hui hushete yudas lishmor kiddushin. You know what? But she's got to know how to keep her kiddushin. Now, both of these reasons preclude chereshes. A chereshes has no chain anyway. A nobody wants to marry a chereshes, right? B a chereshes also does not know how to preserve a kiddushin. So, according to both these reasons, a chereshes cannot eat truma, right? Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, "Mastiso amrakein." Our Mishnah says this as well. What does our Mishnah say? It says, "Mises the Kohen tocha b'truma." It says, if she marries a Kohen, she can eat truma. So the chiddush is that even though she doesn't have a real nisuin d'oraisa, nevertheless Rabbana came along and gave her such a status. Amar Chinah, Chinah said, min ma adam adam Rabbi Yochanan nechina, that which Rabbi Yochanan made the quality, made it contingent on chayin, adam Rabbi lo yadas lishmor kiddusha she'a, this teaches us that even she doesn't know how to keep her kiddusha, as long as there's a chayin factor, there, that's enough, amazingly enough, to allow her to eat truma. So even if the she herself does not know how to keep her kiddushin, nevertheless, she was married off by a mother or a brother, I guess, and called kavchon, she married by a father, she gets to eat truma. But then she says the katana ain lo chupa shetocha betruma. Interesting. It says a katana has no chupa that she can eat truma. Now, you know, I see I made a mistake before. Very bad mistake. Which is nisuin she does have. A katana of Bas Yisrael does have nisuin. At least the raisa. What the Gemara says here, she doesn't have chuppah. What does she have? What makes nisuin? Amar Ravai, Ravai said, Masis Amar Kain, Nises the coin tocha b'truma. The Tabla Amar Alpha Rav, when she marries the coin, she can eat truma. Now, Nises here, I understood this as parent, and I mess you guys up. Well, all the Yerushalmi is saying is that there's no such thing as chuppah for nisuin by a katana. What is the nisuin by a katana? If it's not the chuppah? Bia. Right. So it means when can you feed a truma? As soon as boiler. Which fits in with the concept of chayin. Because chayin, again, chayin has nothing to do with romantic love, but chayin has to do with bia. Right. So therefore, as long as he has relations with her, so then at that point he can feed her truma. Okay. Rabbi Avin boy. Rabbi Avin said, asked the final question based on this. This is a wild and woolly question. Classical Yerushalmi question. It's not, says, she, you have a ketana who entered the chuppah and didn't have relations. So that by ketana doesn't work, even if she was married off by her father. That's not a sufficient nisuin, right? For Shaul, basically, and now he sent her back home to her father's house. Vigdil, and she grew up. Mao shetocha b'truma k'chi truma, because the nisuin works retroactively. I have no clue how, but the nisuin works retroactively from the time that she grows up. That from that she can eat truma from now on. In other words, she had nisuin, but she had one nisuin katana. Now she's a gdoilo, which is not in the state of nisuin now. But the nisuin which she had when she was a minor connect to the fact that now she's an adult, and now can she eat truma. So that's the one she means adult? Yeah. Let's hear from some price. I don't know where this price is. But it says, Agav chupa sarishno, she can eat truma based on her first chupa. Ain't that glad me? She can eat truma in this situation.
Well, she's still technically married. She was never
divorced. Yeah, but she never achieved true technical nisuin. That's a very big chiddush to consider in the sua, despite the fact that there was never any bia, and the chuppah was done when she's a ketana, but the chuppah done with the ketana joins together with the fact that now she's a gdolo. That's a big chiddush. That's what we're saying here. Okay? Say it more further. Going back to our Mishnah. And said, if you stole a beam, gozal me reishu b'no b'bira. If you stole a beam built into your house, into your mansion, you don't have to take down your mansion in order to get it out. B'shamamim, not true. Yikakeya kol abira v'idnenu lo. So that's not halacha. You got to tear down your entire building and give it back to the beam. Or b'shul, b'shul says, no sin lo dom of b'shavim. B'shul are the ones who argue. And they say that they give the money and its value. Neda goes to Shabbat in order to get people, then good people, then send to tshuva. Amar Rebbe Elazar said, "Now that's not so fascinating, but now comes quite a fascinating thing." Oh, not yet. Amar Rebbe Elazar says, "Mapli, what's machlokas? B'shagozel meshupa. If you stole the beam." And was already smoothed out. It was already, made suitable for building material. I'm gozo v'shipo, but if you stole it and made it suitable to be a building material, so that's shiri maise, you changed the nature of the stolen object, and the levels in every change the nature of the stolen object, you have to pay back in cash. Don't milchayav lo. Now, this is a cool case, also only unique, exclusive, Yusham exclusive. Gozlo v'shipo amakomo. What if you stole the beam and you never moved it? In other words, you went into your friend's backyard, you took his beam and you started finishing it. And you finished it. And now it's suitable to build with, right? Before it was just a block of wood, and now it's a building beam. So what is your status?
Are you a thief? Are you not a thief?
What?
Yeah, well, you don't want to do it for free, right? You want to get paid for it. So nishminim enada. This is all non-bavli. So it says you go down to your friend's ruin, uvenoya, and you built it. Shalom b'shus without permission. Shamilo, we evaluate what you did. V'yoda tachtoina, and you get whatever less, either, as we learned already, the expenses or the enhancement, right? So now, we would say the same thing. If I approved your beam, so I get paid for the either whatever my expenditures were, or whatever I increased the value of the beam, whatever's less. I get the less of that tuzam. So it's interesting, even though the beam is metalklin at this stage, right? It's just a beam sitting on the ground. Nevertheless, the fact that I carve it without moving it or enhance it without moving it is not considered to be an act of theft, and therefore I get whatever's less, the shvach or the hotzos, the enhancement or the expense. Now, bikesh lito eitzav avonav. It's another cool case, also yusham exclusive. You have built up your friends. I come. You own chveis. The old Hebrew Theological College, on Douglas Avenue. And I come and I build there a skyscraper, right? And now I want to take the building, the skyscraper away. I want to make it back the way it was, right? Which is a dump. So what's halacha? So bikesh lito eitzav avonav, I want to take back my sticks and stones with which I built your palace, a palace in your churva. Ain't show me love. We don't listen to the guy that wants to reverse the building. Rabbi Yaakov, why? Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yeshua, Levi said, Mishum Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yaakov, yes, boy, yes, why not? If I took my bundle, I had a knapsack, and I opened it in your backyard, I can't pick it up again and take it away. That's what you're saying. In other words, so what if I built in your backyard and made a larger building? It's no different than my opening my knapsack in your backyard. I should be allowed to take all my toys and go home, right?
In the case of the old building, was that Hefker?
No, it was your old building.
So
it's the wrong. No, to the other guy.
Yeah.
I came to your old building and I built it up. So it says here I have to leave it there. Why? Should we know different than anybody who opens his pack in your backyard that you can take back whatever you can get out?
Except if you open your package in my backyard, it's still your package. You didn't relinquish.
Where did I relinquish the sticks and stones here? You don't know that I relinquished them.
You were building it in my backyard.
Maybe I figured that you didn't want your backyard anymore. Maybe you gave him permission, wouldn't work. So in any event, so says Gemara, what's the problem? So says Gemara, V'lo Shmiya Dom Rabbi Yaakov Ariyidei, B'Shem Yeshua, didn't say here that which Rabbi Yaakov, he didn't say name Yeshua Levi, Mishum Yeshuv. Interesting. The way the Pnei Moshe explains it is particularly nice. He said, not because of Yeshuv Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara's going to clarify that in a minute. But rather because if I rebuild your ruin, and then ruin it again, it's more ruined than it was the first time. Right? It's more ruinous. Right? Because the foundations are weakened. The walls are weakened. So actually, I'm going to damage you if I remove my stones and sticks. That I'm not permitted to do. I have to leave it there. As opposed to if I unload my knapsack, I can pick back everything else and take back everything up and take everything home because I never weakened anything. But here I weakened. Okay? So that's one of that, so it's no good. So, Mishum Yishu. Yosem Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said good. I forget who Rabbi Yossi is. Rabbi Yossi said. Yos is because of good settlement. So I'm Rabbi Yossi. They said, "Havina sovar me ma'ito ma'pliyim boritz." It's only in Eretz Yisrael. So because of Yishuvoritz, abuchutzaretz tovetzan eshu uchutzaretz mi'mad. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Barach Mishum Yishuv. Not because of Yishuvoritz Yisrael, but because of Yishuv. Adam Rahi boritz chutzaretz. The same thing in Eretz Yisrael. Chutzaretz. So if I build up your backyard, I'm not allowed to take it down. It's an amazing concept, right? Because it's going to make things worse if I take it back down again. Okay, b'kesh lito etzav avon amal. What if the now what? He didn't literally want to take his sticks and stones back. He's not allowed to, but he wanted. What he wants to get paid, right? Again, all this is not in the Bavli, and this is a fascinating actually machlokas one we're about to learn. I didn't see anybody looking quickly. I didn't see anybody speaks about it, but it's really fascinating. I built up your backyard and made your churba livable, so I want money from you. Right, whatever's left is through the expenditures or the ads, but I want money from you, right? So Amos, when does he pay? When does he pay? Loch is, of course, he pays. So when does he pay? So Omer Lo, whoever the first Amore says, he doesn't get paid until the other guy lives in it. It was an amazing concept, because obviously the payment is for the Anoa I get. Until I live in it, I don't get any Anoa. That's what he claims, right? Whereas Shmuel says you give it immediately. He says, because Lamaisa, the Anoa is the enhancement of the property, and that's immediate. It's a fascinating machlokas.
Is there any concept of Tovas Anoa
here? No, it's worse than Tovas Anoa. It's actual Anoa. Tovas Anoa, where it's not a commodity which normally can be sold on the open market, but here, the right to live somewhere or to own property is a negotiable right. Right. So that's actually basically my clothes. I don't know what the spoilers are, but Shmuel says the time of the one or says until he lives there, and Shmuel says immediately. Says Mara Ula Bray Shmuel said, this came back to the last part of the mission, which talks about Korbanos. Now Bedin Hava really logically dictated, I feel Loni of the Rabbi, even the Chatos was not known to have been stolen, Lo to Chaper, it should not have told. Right, because it's stolen. It's a mitzvah bar avera. Lomru techaper. Why they say that it did that if it's not known, it is mechaper. Shloim is be'er shomayim. Because otherwise, it's be'er chidesh. Because all the kohenim would be paranoid about all the stolen korbanos in the market. Right? Rishloim shomayim. Rishloim said the exact opposite. He said, "I feel in the bedina. I feel in neider l'rabim techaper." Really, it should work even if the korban is known to be stolen. Right? Because there was yeush. Why say it's not mechaper? Shloim is bam mechaper, because otherwise it will pay to say that the mizbeach is eating stolen goods. So therefore, even really, if people knew it was stolen, it should work anyway. But since they shouldn't say mizbeach eating stolen goods, that's what they said, it didn't work. Anyway, it said as long as the rabbim don't know, you're okay. Once rabbim know, you're up the creek. For kamei and rabbim who are considered to be a lot. So Rogui and Bashir Shlosh said Shlosh should be around three people. That's to be allowed. Once three people know, you can't sacrifice it, even though it's not to be possible. Rabbi Yamashem, Rabbi Yochan said, Vaivesim Gozul Vesabisek Vasakholez rebuke him by the Navi, you brought stolen animals, lame animals, and sick animals, Vibukopanos, my Pesach Bukhola Bukoli, Afkobukoli. It's like a Pesach and a sick animal is obvious. So to just a basic animal is obvious. Av kol begoli, so to everything which is so to. I'm not sure exactly what he means by this, but honestly, it seems that he means that even less than three people, as long as there's some way of it being public, even less than three people is registered to be public. Okay, halacha zayin. This is an interesting historical mishnah. It's actually in the Bavli, in this mishnah is the famous agat about the Churban. But this is Yerushalmi, so it's not much agat about the Churban here. But it's appropriate for this time of year. Loya Sikrikon v'Yehuda v'Arugei Milchama. Now, the halach of Sikrikon is that Sikrikon literally bandits. So we're talking about and the murderous bandits. So there was no Sikron Yehuda, meaning if you bought land from a Sikri Kohen, in other words, the Sikri Kohen would very often come to the land of Yehuda and pressure the landholders to give him land, right, in order that they shouldn't kill him. So the initially, the Sikri Kohen not so powerful. So if somebody bought from a Sikri Kohen, you say, you know, he bought. Hi, the first seller who sold the Sikri Kohen sold under duress, but it's under duress is a valid sale. Right? So there was no din of Sikri Kohen. And Baruge Milchama, people being killed in Yehuda is also true. Baruge Milchama Ve'elach, however, from the time people were getting killed in war, and subsequently, Yesh Bo Sikri Kohen, there is the Halacha of Sikri Kohen. What's a log of Sikri Kohen? Okay, it's a log of a Sikri Kohen if you bought land from a Sikri Kohen. And then you bought the same land from a Baal Bais. Your purchase is null and void because, of course, the Baal Bais is mortally in mortal terror of I'm not agreeing to this deal because afraid the Sikri Kohen is going to take it out on him, right? So therefore, if you bought something from a bandit and then you paid the original owner for it, that's null and void, right? However, you paid the Baal Bais first because of the log of a Sikri Kohen, then you paid off the Sikri Kohen afterwards, then Michal Chaim. Then since when the Baal Bais found out about it, the Sikri Kohen had not yet known about it, so therefore you could sign, and therefore if he didn't, you know, he takes responsibility. V'chein same idea. If you bought something from the wife from the husband, and then you bought the same thing from the wife, Michal bought this non vote because the husband agreed out of fear, right? If you bought something from the woman first, and then bought it from the man, Michal Chaim, then it's valid. Anyway, all this was the initial Mishnah. Beishas Shachrei Mamru, the later Beishas said, in the time of Sikri Kohen, what do you do? No sein lebaile ravua. They said, you just give the original owners a quarter of the value of the field, and we say with that, they're willing to relinquish all claims. And beside when it's true, b'zman shein b'yodan likach, if they don't have the capacity to buy the field back. Avimiesh b'yodan likach, if they have the capacity to buy the field back, hey, call me call and they come first. Rabbi Oshi Bezim and Inu, Rabbi made a basin and voted. Shim Shalif Nehati, you can call you base Chodesh, if land remained by the band for 12 months, call Kodim Likach Yikach, then all prior bets are off no matter what. The notes in Labalim Revia, and whoever wants to take it takes it, and the original owner gets just a quarter of its purchase price. Okay? Says more further. On a base. Breishoina, now the Kushayat itself is all a scholarship thing here. When this is, what period is talking about? The Gemara Lassan quotes Gretz on this, but I'm surprised because it's a from Jew quoting Gretz. But in any event, the consensus to the Shayat Eretz Yisrael with himself is that this took place immediately after the Korban. Breishoina goes to Shema. Now this is not in the Bavli either. Breishoina goes to Yerushalmi equivalent of Gadatu almost. Breishoina goes to Shema Yehuda. Initially they decreed the Shema on Yehuda. Why is that? Shekain Mesuyim Biyodim Me'avoyisam. They had a tradition in their hand. Mesuyim Biyodim Me'avoyisam. The tradition for the forefathers. Yehuda Horeg is Esav. Yehuda killed Esav. It's almost like, you know, we killed Yashka, right? The same idea. So, the Sivit says, your hand is in the neck of your enemy, so therefore, they were killing in Yehuda indiscriminately. Also, they would go and subjugate them. I don't know if they were killing them indiscriminately. They went and subjugated them. But not only so, the same, they would take their fields, and used to buy and sell to others. For you, Baal Batim Boim, and then the Baal Bais, the initial owner, would come, the Torfin, and would grab it back, right? The Torfin, grab it back. And as a result, now put the words Nimnu Milikach from the next line over here, the buyers would refrain from taking from the secret code because they knew that the boss would come and take it back from them. So it was a, you know, why should anybody buy from the secret code if the initial Baba is gonna take for, to come and take for you? So the secret cone guys would keep everything, right? Because they wouldn't find any buyers. Because any buyer would know he'd have to give back the original owner. The original owner was out of money, right? He had to give up his field down and he was making money of it. So therefore, everybody was up the creek, right? So therefore, he kinush lo yu secret cone because they decided it's not going to be a din secret cone in Yehuda anymore. What does it mean it's not going to be a din secret cone? That means that once the secret cone takes over, there's no recourse for the original Baal Bais. He might get a quarter of the value, but there's no recourse. Now, the Or Simeon points out about Big Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. Actually, it's the Rashba points out, the Or Simeon just brings down the Rashba. The Bavli holds that because secret cone compelled Gomer Omakne. If a guy comes to you and says, your money or your life, then you are Gomer Omakne, your money. Unless you're Jack Ben, he writes, of course. You're Gomer Omakne, your money, because you know you don't want to lose your money. You don't want to lose your life, so you're willing to lose your money, right? That's what the Bavli says. Gomer Omakne, there's no secret cone in Yehuda because Gomer Omakne. They give it over. Rashami does another way. Rashami says it's a takona. Because we didn't say it's given over to the secret cone, so then nobody would ever redeem lands from the secret cone because they'd always know it's a danger to go back to the Baal Bais. So therefore they made takona so that anybody buys into the secret cone doesn't have to give it back to the original owner. Right? Yeah. It's a takona.
And the original owner can't go to the first century.
No, that's the takona. Okay, so in any event, now continuing along these lines, when was it there's no secret cone Yehuda? When people were being killed in war, and lifnei milchama, before the war. But after the war, meaning in the Gzeira after the war, then there's a little secret cone that you can't, whoever buys the field doesn't just get free and clear because there's too much confusion going on. Says I don't understand. Those who were killed before the war, right, were in danger. Why are they not like those after the war, right? Which means they should have a din of secret cone, right? So it says, we're talking about a case, the potter, really he should have a din of secret cone. We're talking about a case of a Rishabot secret cone. The secret cone came because of Hamas and he stole and what's the word? Not distorted, but, what's the word? No, it's not for it anymore. Yeah. Extorted. He stole and extorted land. Right? Because you pay. Chamas is where you pay, but not enough, right? Right? So the secret cone came and he either stole or extorted land from the. That's the right word, right? Extorted? He extorted land from the initial homeowner, right? This is before the war. And then, when I speak to the Tarfo, the homeowner was not able to write the document or the secret cone right until there was secret cone in the entire world, meaning the war devolved, right? So since the war came at that point, shalote alocha lemechta. We said in order that there shouldn't be half a halacha, so therefore, you know, I made a mistake. Mistake I made was that we're talking about a case here where Chachamim were not able to write the Tirfa, means they weren't able to write the initial Baal Bais that he could go and take it from the buyer bought from the secret cone. I'm sorry. It was a case where before the war secret cone came. And the Sirgon came and sold it to a third party, right? And this is before they said, made the Takana, right? So in that case, it's before Takana. So theoretically, Chachamim should allow the initial Baal Bais to come and take it back from a third party. But they weren't able to write the Tirfa, which means the right of the Baal Bais to go get it, until war started. Once war started, according to the Bavli, everybody's Gomer Amakne, because they want to save their lives, right? According to Yerushalmi, there's a takana, right? Because if we don't make sure that everybody gets to keep whatever land they buy of a secret kohen, nobody's going to redeem the land from the secret kohenim, right? So since, even though the transaction began before the war, when theoretically we should allow the Baal Bais to come and reclaim his property from a third party, since this is the case which slept over into the war, it looked into the halacha of secret kohen, which is that they get the whoever buys the secret kohen gets to keep it. Again, I want to stress machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, because it's important machlokas. According to the Bavli, in times of war and after the time of war, when there were great persecutions, so then a person who secret kohen approached and said, your money or your field or your life, would give up his field willingly in order to save his life. And therefore, whatever third party came and bought the field from the secret kohen would be allowed to keep it, because the guy who gave the secret kohen gave it to him willfully. Right? Even though begrudgingly, but willfully. Well, it's more than the Irish. It's Das Machne. It's Taluva Zavin, it's called. We compel the guy and he sells. But in the Yehuda, in the Yerushalmi, it says, it's not Gomer Machne. He doesn't want to give it the secret cone. But it's a Takona that Chazal made. Because otherwise, nobody would ever buy the secret cone, because they'll always be afraid the initial Baal Bais will take it back. Right? So therefore, they made a Takona that the initial Baal Bais cannot take it back, so that people would buy it from the secret cone. Okay, so in any event, so says the Gemara. So therefore, once war started, even if the case began before the war, so they didn't draw any distinction. They said, forget it, you can't get your land back. Says Mar Galil Olam Yesh Bo Mishum Sirkikon. In Galil, they always had the law of Sirkikon, which is. It means that he can always get back his land. You know, it's kind of reversed. I keep getting confused. Embo Mishum Sirikon means you can't get back your land. It stays by the third party who ever bought it from the Sirikon. Yeshbo Sirikon means you can get back your land. So in Gaul, they never made such a takona, and you can always get back your land if a Sirikon stole it and somebody else bought it. Right? Hamatalklin. Anybody mishum secret kohen, but Talchin do not have secret kohen, which means you can't get him back. And this is clearly also part of the takana. If Talchin always had riders on them, secret kohen, that the guy can come and say, "Oh, that car! I never sold that car. Somebody came and stole that car, right?" So then the whole marketplace would be paralyzed, because nobody would ever be able to buy an object, lest someday he has to give it back, right? Because there's a secret kohen. So therefore, they just said no backsies, right? There's no such thing as a secret kohen. You can't ever take, you can't, the initial owner can't take it back, because in order to keep the free flow of goods moving. So even though it's not an ethical halacha, right, theoretically, because the guy who lost his property, he was stuck up, you know, he was compelled to give it up. But the running of the marketplace requires us to simply, not take it into account. Okay? Tough luck. Basically what it boils down to. Nowadays they have no kinds of tough luck because everything is insured. But in the old days they had such a concept of tough luck, right? Okay. So it says Tani we learned. Chakire Bate Avos. If somebody was a sharecropper and Sirkon came and took away her sharecroppery, anybody Mishum Sirkon, then there's no kind of secret kohen, meaning you can't get back the sharecropper status. Hayori mishum chov u mishum amperos. If somebody goes down because of a debt which is owed to him, or theft, plain outright, good old theft. Amen mishum secret kohen. There is no concept of a secret kohen. You can't get, the land doesn't go back to the original owner. And even according to our Mishnah Shai Torah, Eretz Yisrael adds, which says you have to pay a quarter to the original owner. He says in this case you don't have to pay a quarter to the original owner. Now, I'm not sure exactly why not, but that's what he says. Anyway, so says Gemara, on Peros, Atma, Mantenus Abad Hashem Asar Chodesh. In a case of theft, of land being stolen, so you wait for the owner to come back for 12 months, he doesn't come back anymore. So then, Amrei Yehuda ben Pazi, Machrizim Volchim Arba Shabbos, we make a pronouncement that he should come back for 4 weeks, after the 12 months. And if he doesn't come back, then the land is, you know, he loses the land, what can you do? So says the Gemara, Patla trained for Nasbin, getting back to the sharecropper issue. The two possible interpretations of the sharecropper issue. Nasbin Chokos, he took it from sharecropper number one. Yabel Chokos gave it sharecropper as number two. Asabai Mitchell and sharecropper number one comes and wants to take it back. Armalay, so he said, so the sharecropper number two says, Rav Chokos at Shavikli is not the sharecropper, he now left to me. My the cozy, come about my that cozy, whatever you made over the years you made, but now it's mine. Okay? And the reason why that's true, although it's not expounded upon here, but the acronyms say, the reason why it's true is that he didn't suffer any loss, the sharecropper. I mean, he lost potential income, but he didn't lose a field. So therefore, there's never any deed of secret come by him. He never gets there's always a deed of secret come, meaning he never gets the field back. Okay? So, never did a going, never gets the beer back, sorry. So there's more than his. So, but there's another possibility. Nazar Ba'abais, let's say Sirkon took it from the owner. And Vieval Chakor, he gave it to a sharecropper. Asked by Mitchell, so the owner comes and says, I don't need no sharecroppers, I want it back. So Amarle, so he says, Ma loy hanoy aloch. What benefit will come to you if you take back the land? That means Savina, Ad Masivna Minei. Whatever he's going to see you take it back to land, he's going to take it for you, you're going to have to take it back from him, so you're going to constantly fight over it. Oh, you know what? I got an eight for you. Whatever I make with my efforts, I'll give you a cut. So that's a case also where we have a case where an individual says that, the individual says, you know, the initial guy, initially there was a sharecropper, and then the Sikhon gave it to another sharecropper, but here there was no sharecropper. And Sikhon gave it to a sharecropper. So then now the Ba'abais wants to take it back, so the Sikhon says, the sharecropper says, look, if you take it back, you're just going to cause more of a battle. Leave it in my hands and I'll take care of it for both of us. So that could work. Okay? Says Gemara, Akdu Mishnei Shoros. Now it's going back to the rest of our mission. The mission was talking about where you bought from a man, and then you bought from a woman, so the Mekach is bought because she said she had to sign it because her husband already signed the deal, right? Right? So remember that case? So, that's when it's two documents. What if it was one document? The first husband signed, and then the wife signed. Certainly in that case, no good. Because she was compelled to sign because of the same document. In two documents, one could say that she wasn't compelled to sign the second document. We say, nevertheless, she's compelled because it came after the first document. But certainly, if it's the same document, she feels compelled. Now, so says, of course, that's the only way to take first and that for the woman, that's no good. We want a case where he's the purchase is certainly valid. If you took first from the woman and then from the man, then certainly valid. Says, how can you do that? How can you buy first from a woman? It's not hers. It's on the lien to the husband, right? Achilas Peros. Says, yeah, it's on the lien for Achilas Peros. But she can sell the actual property. Now, this is not the way I learned it when I originally prepared it, but now I like what I just said, which is, how can you buy from a woman first from a man? It must be you're buying from, it's Meshubah to the man, so I'm Meshubah to the man for Achilles Peros, not for anything else. The way the Carbon Adam learns this line, however, it's talking about, how can the, It's all one question. So isn't everything that the woman has meshubet to the man for achilas peros? So what is she selling? So Rabbi Chizka b'shem Rabbi Acha says that ain't a v'kini. That's not what they're selling. They're selling achilas peros. Echnami, the gufa karka always remains the wives. They're selling achilas peros. Says Gemara. Fighter. Tavlan beislav. Machla rishon v'chosma. If the husband sold to the first guy and she signed, l'shem shlishi l'chosma, and then she signed for second or third guy, gova min achron, she collects from the last guy. Even though she collects theoretically from all of them, because she signed after her husband in each case, nevertheless, she first goes on the last guy. Lo speak, if the last guy doesn't have enough for her, when she selects an exuva or mizonos, gova min shalom, she takes from the guy before him. Lo speak, if that's not enough, gova min shalivni, if I go to the guy before him. Now, Allah, Amar Rav. Now, concerning this, Rav said, "B'nechasim shechnisla b'ksuvos is only when she's collecting nichsei tzom barzo." Aval nechasim shechnisla bar apirin, but nechasim she brought in. I forget. We had this word elsewhere in the Bishan. I forget where. Nichsei miloik, right? Then there's no priority. Go even amazing shatirs that she collects whichever field she wants. But she's collecting nichsei tzom barzo, the fields are not actually hers. The money is hers, so therefore she goes by, and it's the standard collection vehicle of any debtor, and she goes to the last guy to collect, right, and she goes to the first, and then the second to last guy, and so on and so forth. But if it's her property, because nilchse milog, so she can go to anybody to take it back, because it's really her property, which is sold, shaloka did. So therefore she can take back any parcel she wants, she doesn't have to go to the last guy. She'll go to the last guy when she's getting reimbursement, but if she's not getting reimbursement, she's getting her actual property back. She can choose whichever one she wants. Okay? Theoretically, she could choose all of them, right? Because they're nechsim milok. Here may be a day only kach, but lokeach omer lav. Now, this is talking about a new case, a related case, obviously. This where the guy bought from a secret cone in the years when it would go back to the original owner. So the original owners or his heirs say, we can buy it back. And therefore we want it back. The buyer says, no, you don't have enough capacity to buy it back. So Riosio says, the field remains in the authority of the initial owners. Even though they're not, and the fascinating thing is, because they're the original owners. Now, the grama in Shulchan Aruch actually changes this, the girsa here. It's based on the Ran. The Ran changes girsa and says, what do you mean? Who's holding on to it? Who's holding on to it now? The guy who bought from the secret cone, right? The original owners want it back. They're not sitting in the field. You can't say about them that they have first rights because I'm Mitzvah Chaver Lavaraya. They're not holding on to it. Who's holding on to it? The guy who just bought it. The third party. Not clear?
Who has to be
multi mechavira?
Who's
the pashas is that the original owner wants to say to the guy who just bought from the secret cone,
it's mine.
It's mine, and I'll pay you give it to me.
Right.
So what's it saying here that the bialim have cheska? The bialim have the right of multi mechavira lavaraya. They're not holding on to it. So the Ramah, the Amudi Yerushalayim brought down, he brings it down at the bottom, actually changes it to. The lekuchos say amotzi mechavira lav araya. In fact, because the guy who bought from the secret cone is sitting in it now, so he says to the original owner, bring proof that you yourself are about to redeem it, and then I'll give it back to you. But this orsemach proves that the girsa in front of us is correct. That it means that he doesn't explain the lumbus, but he says that in fact the even though. The Basami just bought from the secret cone, it's still considered to belong to the original owner. I guess because he has deed to it. Secret cone never achieved deed. And therefore, Amotzi Mechaver Lavaraya says that you have to, the Kuchos, who bought from the secret cone, have to prove that there was no way that the original owner could ever have bought it back. He couldn't afford it. And then in that case, they get to keep it and give a quarter of its value, but otherwise they don't get to keep it. Okay? Rav Amar Havina Miminyara. Rav says, I was among the people who made Takon of Sikri Kon when Rebbe made the Takon. So, which is a little bit mashal, not like the which is very much Malfi Shai Torah Seder Yisrael, because Shai Torah Seder Yisrael sounds like the Tachon was made right after the Churban, and Rab was way after the Churban. So it sounds like it was time for Rav Yehuda Nasi. So it is Bulab Shanihi Revia Kak Revia Mos. When you pay the original owner, because you bought from the Sikon and he has no recourse, doesn't matter, you pay him either quarter of the value of his field in land or in money. Rabbi Yosi Rabun, not true. Karka dinar agarma. If you're paying land, you give a third per dinar. Don't ask me exactly how it works out in the language, but it's a third per dinar. Revia mos sur misin, which is a quarter in money. In other words, if you give cash, you have to pay less. There's a deduction for paying cash. So this story about a guy who bought from the secret call, after the zakona that he gets to keep it. He has to reimburse the original owner with a certain amount, however, not the full amount. So it's either a quarter in land or a third in cash of the full value of the field which he just bought from the secret call. Okay? We'll stop here for this evening.